Still looking good. Even some have gathered with us since Sunday school hour. Appreciate the invitation to be here. It was a long trip for one day for an old man. But we made it, praise the Lord. And we're going to sing about five songs here, and then we'll have some word. How'd that be? Okay. See, a lot of times they want us to come, they want singing, but they don't want the preaching. And a lot of churches are in that today, you know, entertainment. But we're not an entertaining group. We're not here for entertainment. We trust that we'll be a blessing, that God will use the music to speak to your heart. And I'll start off with a song entitled Such Love.
Thank you.
All right, I'll introduce my wife back here, Lee. You ladies met her last night. And we have 10 children, and 4 of them are still with us. Haven't given up yet, but any time we could expect them to, after all that we put them through over the years.
Am I on this?
Yes, I am. I was going to introduce all of them here, but they're scattered about. This is, who is this over here? Yeah, this is Jessica. Jessica, and she's sandwiched in between two boys, so that explains why she's the way she is. Okay. And over here we have Sharon. She's the oldest one of the group up here. We're not going to say any more about that. And this is Monica, which is the youngest one of the whole bunch. Down here we have Joanna. And she deceives people by making them think that she's younger than she is. Okay. There's one of our oldest girl I mentioned in the Sunday school hour that we were members of the son-in-law's church in New York. She is his wife, the oldest girl. And second one is married to a missionary in Ivory Coast of Africa. Third one, her and her husband are out in Texas. He's pastoring a church in northern panhandle, Texas. And the fourth one is in Papua New Guinea. And the two sons are in Florida right now. They're working with Landmark Baptist Church in their radio station and so on there. Okay, that's all that. And this next song is one you've sung, no doubt, many times in church, but probably not with the banjo or guitar. Higher Ground.
Yeah.
This next song was written by our oldest daughter. She's written several songs, and some of the albums that they have is titled by name of her song and her songs that she's written. And this one is titled, I Am Not Ashamed. And I hope that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ, to stand for Him and to be counted with Him. Because one day it's going to be a glorious day if we can give a good report to Him for our service unto the Lord and our faithfulness to Him. Wouldn't you say that would be good? I think it would be. I know it would be. So listen now as they sing, I Am Not Ashamed. Right, this next song is asks a question, and it's with the harp, the Celtic harp, and solo by Jessica, who backs up Monica on the harp. And they ask a question, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? A good question to ask ourselves, have we done our best? I know I've come short of His glory, and I know there's time-wasting things that I've done. But I'm thankful that God has kept me busy one way or the other for Him over a period of soon be, it's past 50 years since I've met the Lord. I know I don't look that old, but really I am, folks. I was saved when I was 20 years old. I was studying to be a forest ranger at Michigan State University. It was a college then. And I had one desire in my heart, is to become a forest ranger and get away from people and live in the woods. And that year, God saved me. And as I've said before, I've looked down my snout at thousands of people over the years, the last 50 years. So God has a way of turning things around in your life, you know. I remember public speaking in college was one of my most dreaded subjects. I hated to get before people and speak. One professor said, "John, I can't grade you if I can't hear you." And I remember one theme that we had to write on the subject and then speak on it, and I chose to, and this was before I was saved, I chose to write on Jesus Christ. And when I got the paper back, it had red marks all over it. And those red marks said, "I'm sure that Jesus Christ will not make these grammatical errors." God saved me and gave me a desire to speak His word. And I believe He has used me to a certain extent over the years. This song, "I Wonder Have I Done My Best for Jesus." All right, they're going to do one more song. Keep in mind the time. And it's 2 hours and 20 minutes until next service starts. So there's food on the grounds, I understand. I wanted to take time. I talked to the pastor about this. If you've seen the white 92 Chevrolet van out in the parking lot, you'll notice that it's moth-eaten. It was given to us by a church in Bridgeport, West Virginia, because our 93 Ford diesel van went out on us last winter in a snowbank, getting out of the ditch, burned up the seal and transmission. I already put one in before, and the engine has close to 300,000 miles on it, and it has some miss in it. We're not sure what's wrong on the inside of it. So whether it's, we don't feel it was worthy really to put another transmission in it, since it is a 93, and it has some other problems, as all vehicles do, I understand. But what I'd like for you to do is pray about it. I don't normally do this. I don't even ask, we don't ask to have a certain amount given to us, even for transportation or travel expenses, or for a love offering. We never have done that over the 27 years that we've been on the road, and now well into our, in fact, last September we finished 27 years, now in our 28th year. We did, several years ago, ask for help in buying a bus, which we bought and used for many years, but my sons left me by way of All Flash. I got married, and big vehicle, and just a little too much for me to maintain, and that was unnecessary. We sold it and paid off another bill we had, but because, you know, if we, you say, well, why didn't you do something, you know, over the years, last few years, 3 or 4 years, we've been working on this building that we feel like God spoke to us about doing, and we hope to open this up for people in the community to come to minister to them, not to start another church or anything in the community, but just to reach some people in the community. We're working with them right now, and we've seen some progress, but people come today, as we mentioned in Sunday School Hour, with a background of all kinds of messes. We talked about, you know, no ethics, no morals, and really just people, you know, not just shacking up together and involved in dope and alcohol. And so that's the type of people that we're really dealing with right now. Some of them live on our road where we live. And so that's one reason that I felt God wanted us to build this house, that we could be a blessing not only to those people, but also to missionaries that are traveling through, or pastors and their families that want to take a break, get a little rest in a beautiful mountain air, have some buckwheat cakes for breakfast. And can you believe it? Here in Illinois this morning, sausage gravy and biscuits was amazing. We may even do some of that. But anyhow, I wish you pray. You say, what are you asking? I'm asking that you pray about it. And if you, I remember one time when I was raising money for the bus, I mentioned it, asked the pastor if I could. And after the service, pastor said, how much did you need to pay off the bus? And I told him it was something like $8,000 or something like that. And he said, well, I don't know exactly how much you got, but I know you got enough to pay off the bus. There was a lady in the church that gave us $10,000. And praise God for that. And we paid off the bus. And so if we continue to travel like we're still going out in services and ministering, as well as ministering there through our home church, we're going to need a vehicle that's a little more trustworthy. You see, in this van that the church gave us, it's a 92 Chevrolet, they had carried salt in the back of it for the wintertime, and the salt leaked out and ate the bottom of the doors off, and so now we're getting fumes up in there, and I took some of my old trousers yesterday and stuffed them down in the holes in the door and put my jacket down there to keep the air from coming in, and then I went down to the hardware store and got some expanding foam and put inside that door. But they say, Sharon said she could still smell it this morning after all that. But anyhow, I wish that you'd pray about that. I'm taking that time because I feel it's necessary. And that's how we have traveled over the years. God's people have helped us, and we haven't asked for a whole lot. And so I hope you'll bear with us on this. All right. They're going to sing. Basic theme of this song is, no matter where I go, God's still there with me. Ride the morning winds or something like that. Would you like to stand right now as we read the Word of God from 1 Kings chapter 21, related to something we spoke about this morning in Sunday school hour? And I want to read quickly verses 15 through 27, 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. Verse 15. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel who were clothed in sackcloth fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded thee people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed, but as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me, on my father's house, but not on thy house, that they should be plagued. Not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of God, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee. Let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offering, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again unto the sheath thereof. Father, we ask your blessing on your word today. Pray to God you would get glory to yourself. And we'll give you praise and the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. The Jebusites were inhabitants of Jebus, known today as Jerusalem. The Israelites encountered the Jebusites when they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land under Joshua. However, Jerusalem remained under Jebusite control for many years until it was decisively captured by David. Although the Jebusites lost the city in battle, David respected their property rights. You realize that's what our Constitution is built on, is respecting property rights? Amen. David respected their property rights. That might be another reason why David was a man after God's own heart. He legally purchased the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusites. He's also known as Araunah in 2 Samuel 24:16. I'm talking about Ornan, which became one of the most famous places in the world. Here is a man named Ornan who was a Jebusite, and he was originally in the land of, they were originally in the land of Canaan before, and mentions them in fact in Exodus chapter 3, it mentions them. And even back in Genesis, it mentions about the Jebusites, that they were going to go into the land of Canaan and take over the Jebusites. But they, as you know, the Israelites did not totally obey God and take over the land when they first came in. It was a number of years later. Here we are in the reign of David. But I looked at this man, Ornan, and most preachers, when they preach about this passage, they preach about the sacrifice that David made, that he would not take anything that cost him, and etc., which is a good message, and we messaged that in Sunday school. But I want to look at this man, Ornan. Now, I like to look up their names, and In the Bible, many times the name of the person is descriptive of their personality or what they did. And we're told that Ornan's name comes from the ash tree. It refers to the ash tree. Now, I don't know if they have ash trees in the Middle East or not. I don't. Do they? So I didn't know that. But I know we have them in good old West Virginia, almost heaven, West Virginia. And I remember my father used to make his own handles. He'd make axe handles out of hickory. But we had a thing we called a cant hook. Anybody know what a cant hook is? All right. Peavey is another word for it. Not an amplifier, but a tool. Peavey. It's a thing they used to roll logs. The first time I ever understood what a cant hook was, I think, is when one of our neighbors was working for us, and at dinner time, I got on the subject of people having upset stomach about eating different foods, and I remember this guy said, "You can turn my stomach with a cant hook." But anyhow, that stuck with me. Amazing how little things like that stick with you over the years. And but Dad used to make, if I'm not mistaken, he made cant hook handles out of ash because it was a light wood, but it was also strong. So Ornan's name comes from that tree, we're told, because of its strength. Because of its strength. 2 Timothy 2:1, you do not turn there, says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the Lord, in the grace, rather, that is in Christ Jesus." I was jumping ahead to another passage of Scripture in Ephesians, and you might turn there in chapter 6, verse 10 through 11, talking about strong people or being strong for the Lord. "Finally, my brethren," he says, in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood." We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battles are not with flesh and blood as Christians. An associate pastor down in North Carolina one time was given the finger, you know what I'm talking about, in traffic. You ever had that happen? You know what he did? He caught that guy at another light. The guy had his car window down. He ran up, grabbed that guy, grabbed his hand, grabbed that finger, and bent it back and broke it. Went back and got in his car. That's not the way for associate pastors to do. Even though we might feel like doing that. Amen. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." He said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Right, talking about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it means be ready to take the gospel. I remember my father used to shoe horses, and people would bring horses. He was in the cavalry in the military and took care of the horses, and they would bring him horses that they couldn't shoe, you know, the ones that didn't like to have their shoes put on. And I remember out in our front yard and also in our barnyard, there was a forked walnut tree in the barnyard, a forked apple tree in our yard outside of our kitchen, the kitchen yard, as they call it in Maine, they call it the dooryard, out in the dooryard. And I don't know why he chose that tree at times and the other tree over by the barn. But he would take a pole and put it in that fork. Now, forks was down low to the ground. And he'd put a pole in there, fasten it in there, tie it in there. And he would throw that horse down and tie its head to the tree. And he would tie its legs to that pole. And that horse would get his shoes on, whether it wanted it or not. And he was protecting those little froggies, you know, in their hoofs. So as they walked across the rocky grounds, which we have lots of in West Virginia, I told you, remember? And of course, it gave them traction. And he was preparing that horse to do work. And he said, "Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Are you able to carry the gospel to somebody? Do you know how to tell somebody how to be saved? You need to learn that. He goes on here. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In the military, we were told about, this is a long time ago, of course, the 3.5 rocket launcher that we had to fire in basic training at a tank. And two of you worked together. It was a stovepipe-looking thing, and you put that rocket in there, and it wired up, and then the guy that had it on his shoulders, you'd tap him on the helmet and tell him you were ready, and he'd fire it. And I remember the sergeant told us, said, this thing can burn through 13 inches of homogeneous steel, whatever that is. It was designed to burn through the armor of a tank and go in there and melt the contents inside. I want to tell you something. There is no fiery dart or rocket that the devil can throw against you if you have the shield of faith up that's going to affect you. The faith, victory is in faith. It's through the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen, Brother Marshall. And it goes on to say here, take the whole armor of God. It goes on to say, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, which the helmet protects the most valuable organ in the body, the brain, which it should be, right? The most valuable one, right? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he's saying the most important thing you can have here, as far as I'm concerned, is salvation. If you don't have that, you don't have anything really in Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit uses the Word of God in places we're not aware of and don't know about. And if you prepare a message, preacher, for some particular family in the church, most of the time they miss it. Amen. It goes over their shoulder and hits somebody else. And they may even come up to you and say, you know, that was a good message for so-and-so. So it's a sword of the Spirit. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, strength. We're talking about strength. Our strength is in the Lord in his armor. Now, secondly, I want you to notice something about Ornan here. Going back to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. He was spared. He was evidently a strong man, but he was spared. Verse 15 of chapter 21. It says, last part of that verse, it is enough, stay now thy hand, talking to the Lord, talking to the angel that was destroying. He said, it is enough, stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. God stayed the angel's hand, stopped him from killing any more. The judgment had come right up to Ornan, to his threshing floor, and God said, that's enough, stop. And I want to say today that the judgment came right up to us, but there was Calvary, and God said, that's enough, right there. And we are spared through the judgment that fell upon Jesus instead of upon us. And we're spared. I'll tell you, there is going to be a judgment. In Matthew 11, 23 and 24, he says, thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would remain in this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than in a day of judgment than for thee. He's talking to this religious crowd. He's talking about these people who, he said, if you'd have known God, you'd have known me. Anybody that knew God in the Old Testament time knew Jesus. Really, because he's God. Well, amen, and glory to God, he is. And said, if you really believed him, you'd have believed me. And here, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, those who committed that despicable sin of sodomy, which our country is smiling at now, and we think of it as a wicked sin, and it is. It's an abomination to God. But God said, it's going to go easier upon Sodom than it is upon those of his day there in Capernaum. He said, thou Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. They had the very Son of God walking in their midst. Acts 24:25 said, "And as he reasoned of righteousness," talking about Paul, "and temperance and judgment to come." There will be a judgment. There's a great white throne judgment where sinners are going to be brought up and told exactly why they're going to hell and what their punishment will be, what their degree of suffering will be in hell. He said, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" We've been dealing with a man. The pastor has had a great burden for him for a long time in Kingwood, West Virginia. And he has cancer. He's lost one lung. And he was in pretty bad shape. Came back again, and he's pretty bad shape. So he goes down to Mexico and gets some kind of treatment, and he's better. And back before he went down, he was, "Oh, yes, I'm going to come to church." Yes, and he would come. "Oh, yes, I'm going to get saved." Now he's kind of withdrawn because it looks like, you know, he's going to be all right for a while. "Go thy way. You know, when I have a convenient season, I'll call." I want to tell you, don't trifle with God. Don't trifle with God. 2 Peter 3:7, "But the heavens, the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved on the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Thank God that we who've trusted Jesus Christ will never have to stand in a great white throne judgment. The judgment is passed over, just like the judgment passed over Ornan there, the Jebusite. The judgment passed over for us because of Calvary. Do you remember the story about the farmer that walked out across his field after fire had burned over it, and he came upon a clump of ashes, it looked like burnt grass, and he kicked it, and out from there came an old hen, and she had been burned to death. Now from under her came a bunch of little biddies, that we used to call them little chicks, and she had given her life. She covered them. As the fire came through, it destroyed her, but those little ones were safe. And so it was on Calvary that day. Jesus stood in our place, and the judgment of God passed over him and fell on him, but it did not touch us. Thirdly, I want you to see that Ornan is not only strong, not only his strength, but I want you to see that he was spared that judgment of God, but he's also scared. Notice verse 20 in 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. "And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves." It was good that he had his four sons with him. They were working with him. Did you get that? It was good that he had him there. Work is good. I mean, hard work. We wouldn't have to be going down to the gym using all these different diet programs, you know, to reduce our weight. My wife and girls, I like to walk. I like to be going somewhere doing something when I walk. Maybe hunting grouse or, you know, going soul winning or something like that. But I don't like necessarily just walk to walk. You know, I like to... I told myself, "I've got a lot of wood you can carry. You can go down over the hill. I'll cut it up. You can carry it up and pile it up for me. That's good exercise." Say, a woman ought not to do that. Well, if they might be getting, needing to reduce a little bit, what's wrong with that? Our mothers used to do that, didn't they? Amen, Brother Marshall. Amen. We have a problem in this country, do we not? I see some of you are not too happy, so we'll move on. I think about a pastor, a song leader in High Street Baptist Church. Years ago, we were in a meeting in Savannah, Georgia. It was a national fellowship meeting, and they had the big people there. They had Jack Hiles, and they had Dr. Billington. They had, I think B.R. Lakin was there, Harold Henninger. They had the soul winner, Carl Hatch. They had him, and they had John Rollins. All the so-called big wigs, you know, in the ministry were there for that meeting. And Earl Smith, who was the song leader at High Street Baptist Church, got up there one day and he said, "I want to tell you, Pastor, something." He said, "If you wouldn't eat anything after 5 o'clock," he said, "you wouldn't be so fat." Those are the exact words. Now, you know, that took some guts to say that. All right. How'd I get on that? Come on back. fellow over in Kentucky, a preacher was preaching, and got on a rabbit trail, and he said, "Now, where was I?" And some fellow spoke up and said, "In closing." Amen. It says here that when he saw the angel, they hid themselves. It pays to fear God. He had respect and a godly fear for the Lord and his messengers. You can call it what you want to, but I'm afraid of disobeying God, because I can get in a lot of trouble. If you want to turn to Psalms, and we'll move along quickly here. Psalm 15, verse 4. We probably shouldn't have had so much music this morning. Most everybody would say we probably shouldn't have so much preaching this morning, if you want to call it that. Psalm 15, verse 4. We're going to look at some verses in Psalms here about fear. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. God honors them that fear him. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Go down to verse 20, Psalm 25, verse 14. Talking about Ornan feared the Lord. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people today that need to have an experience like Ornan had. You see the judgment of God, have an experience with God where it changed your life. Seems that's missing. I know when God dealt with me and showed me I was on my way to hell, that made me change my life, my direction. I mean, he changed it for me, but that was the cause of it. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. What's the secret of the Lord today? The secret of the Lord, that he that believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a secret that the majority of people don't know in this world. Even religious people. It's with them, and he will show them his covenant. His covenant is that promise of everlasting life. Then go down to chapter 31, or Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. How great is thy goodness. It's laid up for them that fear him, that trust in him before the sons of men. People know whether you trust in God or not. They're watching you. Well, the thieves know when to rob your house. You're away at church. Amen. Hope it don't shake anybody up. But I just ask the Lord to take care of things if he wants to. You know, in verse 18 of Psalm 33, another good thing about fearing God. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him and upon them hoping his mercy. He's watching you today. And not in condemnation, but in guidance, in love and mercy. His eyes upon you today. God Almighty's got his eye on you. President Bush doesn't have his eye on you. Republican Party or Democratic Party doesn't have their eye on you, really. Just, you know, for your vote and your money. Amen. I think it's true on both sides. I think I've said anything wrong. I'm not getting political. I've given you both equal time. All right? God's eyes upon us. Verse 7 of Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He's camped round about us. Remember Elisha? The Syrian army? Coming down? Because, you know what? Elisha had them on his radar screen and was telling Israel what they were doing. And so, they went down to get him, surrounded him, and his servant said, "Well, what are we going to do? Look at all these hosts around us." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes." And he opened his eyes and he saw encamped around about on the hills, the hosts of the Lord. And they're round about us. Right now, amen. That's a blessing. If you go on down in verse 9 of that same psalm. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now really, we say we want this, we want that. But really, do we have wants? I mean, that are really necessary? So there's no want to them that fear him. And then Psalm 85, verse 9. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. His salvation is near, and his deliverance is near. And go on over while we've done this consecutively through the Psalms. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His mercy is great. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that we deserve. As the Bible professor told us one time in class, he said if the police department or the sheriff knew everything that the Lord knows, Sunday school attendance would be down all over the county. Thank God for his mercy. Psalm 147:11. It's the last here we're going to. We're almost in closing. He held nothing back. Let me give you one more verse before we talk about that. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. He taketh pleasure in them that fear him. You know, God has a good time with us. Do you like to see people come to visit you, your friends, your relatives, those that you're in harmony with? You like to see them come? You like to spend time? Our son, I mentioned, was in Florida, one or both of them. The younger one is trying out today for, the youth pastor and music director of a church out here in Chicago area. And he's over there now. And my family is trying to get me to take the time to go over there and see him, you know. And sure, I want to see him. But it's a long ways from there to West Virginia in one day. But anyhow, great sacrifice we have to make. Now, I got a feeling that I'm not going to win out. And either tonight after the service or maybe real early in the morning. How about 2 o'clock in the morning? We head out that way. That'll give us plenty of time to, well, anyhow. But God enjoys us. He taketh pleasure in them that fear him. He loves your fellowship. And remember we talked about David in Sunday school hour, praising God. You ought to come before him and praise him and bless his name. And he enjoys that. I believe it, according to the word of God. All right, a couple other things. Now, Ornan was strong, and he was spared, and he was scared, but he shared. You see that in verse 21 through 23, and back in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 21 through 23. And David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me with the full price. I don't want it discounted. That the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offering and the threshing instruments for wood and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. Man, I've had an experience with God. I saw the angel. And I saw what he was ready to do, and he spared me, and he's touched my heart, and I want to give him the whole kit and caboodle, the whole thing. Well, you can not only have the threshing floor, but you can have the oxen, and you can have the threshing instruments to burn the sacrifice and the wheat, and so you can have everything. And that's the attitude we ought to have. When God speaks to us about something, you should be willing. First of all, as it said about the Corinthians, wasn't it? He said, he first gave themselves. We give ourselves, and then everything else doesn't matter when we give ourselves. You need this? Lord, you need this? Take it. Now, we know David wouldn't take it. He paid for it. He wouldn't take it for free. He paid for it. But I'm amazed that Ornan said, take the whole thing. And so he shared. And then lastly, we see sanctuary. Sanctuary, if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And that's one of the most familiar pieces of real estate on the face of the earth today. A place where Solomon built the temple, a place where the Muslim Dome of the Rock is, there's going to be a great irritation when it has to be moved. For there will be another temple built there by the Jews, if you believe your Bible. And you see what God did to that man? He had the privilege of providing. He was willing to give it, but he had the privilege of providing the property where the temple was built, and where another one will be built. And what do you suppose God would do with you if you'd give yourself to him and say, Lord, it all belongs to you anyhow. You made it. I can see that's exciting. But how about your soul this morning? Where is it going to spend eternity? Have you given your heart to Christ? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for this example we see in your book. And so many precious things, God, you use to teach us about yourself and about what you'll do. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness, Lord, of keeping the promises that you make and saying to us that if we give, you'll give back unto us even more. Not necessarily, Lord, we know, does it always mean monetarily, but Lord, just like Abraham, when he gave the tenth, you gave him the teaching of righteousness by faith. You revealed that to him. Lord, I pray for those today, Lord, that may be here without you. If there be any, we pray, Lord, for your people that's holding back on you. You're speaking to them about giving their life to serve you, giving of their resources to further your work here in the church. Lord, whatever they might be holding back on, Lord, I pray that you'd make them willing. Help them to see, Lord Jesus, that in the end, they'll be greatly blessed of you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Is anyone here today? Lift your hand and say, I really don't know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not really saved. And I am concerned about my soul. I wish you'd pray for me that I might have this thing settled before I leave this world. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone with that need today, you lift your hand right now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. You would say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't have that assurance in my soul. And I wish you'd pray for me. I lift my hand. Anyone with that need today? Anyone? How about God's people? You'd say, yes, God has been speaking to me about surrendering something to him and giving it over to him. Whether it be your life to serve him, maybe some of young men God's speaking to about service for him, to preach his word or whatever the need. You'd say, pray for me that I might make that decision. Yes, thank you. Yes. Appreciate that this morning. Any others? Yes. Maybe today you'd like to come and nail that down. Let the pastor know, I'm surrendering this. Whatever it is. Father, we ask your blessing now in this invitation time. Would you get glory to yourself? Be with these who lifted their hand, Father. We pray that you might do your work in their hearts and bring it to fruition for your glory. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Shall we stand? And we'll have an invitation number. Would you come today if God's spoken to your heart? Would you step out? Yes, amen. Who else would come? You raise your hand today. Would you like to nail it down here at the altar? Whatever it is that God's dealing with you about, would you come? And even though you didn't raise your hand that you needed salvation, you can still come right now. So I'm going to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. Would you come? Who else would come today? Come on, if God's spoken to your heart, would you come?
Lord, thank you for that message. Thank you for faithfulness to your words through the many years. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to glean from that. And I pray that you'd help us now have good fellowship together this afternoon and enjoy each other's company. I pray to just be a blessing to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, are they ready for anything going on in the potluck? Any things? Okay, so just kind of meander back there.